and it makes sense as I listen to it, but I'm doing other things. Some of which requires actual reading a little bit, you know, a little bit of decision making. It's all pretty light stuff, though. I mean, what I'm doing now is pretty much different.
Oh, you mean work?
Yeah, work.
Oh, that's different.
I'm not, all right, so. Not in the car or something. Mm. And it's funny because I register everything that's going on. But, you know, I don't know. It's a different, I mean, is that the same as sitting down, you know, just like that's where that's the only thing you're doing? I mean, you know, am I picking up the same thing? I don't know.
What are you listening to?
This stuff. Yeah. While I'm working. You know, it's not very challenging. Right?
I like the sound, the voices in the space. That either I really listen to it, or I tune them out. I can do both.
See if we have big overhead fans. Wouldn't get that as much in the you do pick up all the extraneous noise. Now, the time when we were sitting at the small table, that was nice. That, despite being outside and in a parking lot, just about,
yeah,
it was good. But if you're not sitting around a small table, it's not.
I actually was asking a content question rather than a mechanical question.
Well, of course, I'm good.
You know, dodging out.
No, but it is a curiosity because as I was listening to it, I would walk away occasionally, and I'm like, I'm hearing everything. It makes sense. If there's a question, I'm tuned into the question. If there's a response, I'm tuned into the answer. But is it the same qualitative experience as if I were just sitting back, only listening? I'm not so sure it's that different. It's registered now. A little differently. It doesn't have quite the vibe it had. You might have it.
I know my mind can be seduced by what you call virtual occurrences. Like listening to all the radio stations talking about that plane being shot down.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get deeply involved in that, but I hate it. Nothing there. What's it got to do with breathing?
Well, I did listen today to the one, I'm not going to forget your name. What's your name? Your name?
Dee.
Dee was there. And I liked it. I mean, I appreciated it. Because I really liked, you know, what you had to say. Similar to what we all have to say, you know, wasn't that different?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a common thing. I think I would say for anybody coming in, for me, I can really only speak for myself.
What did you remember hearing me say?
Well, you were pretty unsure at first of yourself, and in with the possibility that you might say something that wasn't acceptable or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And seemed to get past that pretty rapidly.
But I'm back into it tonight because I was thinking on the way over. I don't have a feeling, a clear feeling of, and that's partly where I came, and I will continue to come until I figure it out.
But it may be because it's not figure-outable. It's not something you can figure out.
That's possible. But it seems to me that if we're trying to be together without ego, that almost anything that I would attempt to say would have something to do with my ego. And I have been trying to think what kinds of conversation, it's like really intriguing to think what kinds of words would one use. Or it's easier with none, but to tell you the truth, I get bored with none, and that's my problem. I just, like, I get really I have a need, I think I have an inbuilt need to be asking questions and getting information and comparing and analyzing and all that, and that maybe that gets so frustrating for me. So there are a lot of questions I have about the process, and I know that Jeff will shush me if I get to saying something that I
don't recall Jeff ever shushing me. Well, maybe once or twice, but that was an extreme situation.
I would like to feel that I would know, but the minute I would talk about, say, the thing, I want to say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Like, I just read the phrase third density, fourth density, the rainbow body in a book on synchronicity. And, like, my inclination would be, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
What do you guys think of it, you know? So, but that would be a manifestation of my own ego, would it not? Jeff?
Come back. Run control to make sure.
Yeah, really.
Jeff.
Sure, or not at all.
Oh, that's comforting. That tells me exactly where I am, Jeff. Thank you.
If you or any of us dares receive the present and unfiltered nature of consciousness, then you can see that it's not carvable or nameable or perturbable. That's just the simple naked observation of one's present reflective nature. Here we are. This is the miracle of the moment. It's the best miracle of your life. You'd think that that observation would be enough. This is the only miracle you've got. This is the best miracle of your life.
So pistachios are really good.
It could include really, really good pistachios. Yeah. So where does the notion of ego arise? What's the mechanics or the magic that suggests the arising of individuation? We don't know. Suspicion is wonderful. And we could look at all of the conclusions or solutions that the great body of religious and spiritual study has brought, and I don't think we will discover an answer on the other end of that suspicion. So what if this is as much isn't as it is? If it's at least as much isn't as it is, then you can't really manufacture an ego with any confidence at all.
Meaning you just shoot down any definitions you could actually come up with because it's as much an isn't?
Here's a better one. Shoot down is great, and if you're a good aim, fire away. But underneath shoot down is they don't even arise in the first place. Is it possible that here you are, here this is, and no sentiment arises that places you in the position of ego? So there's really nothing to shoot down.
Are you referencing no thinking?
No.
Because it seems to me that at least this thinking machine will always be defining.
No association.
Being in the service of the ego.
No association.
Well, it doesn't happen.
May we suggest there need be no association with the thinking here? Bless you. Good timing.
Excuse me.
I don't have a napkin at my disposal.
I've got plenty of Kleenex, thank you.
The various manifestations of ego as a set of clothing clothe our nakedness.
What a lovely observation.
And culturally, we're guided into particular forms of ego.
Yes. This coloring book is wide open, and you've got a million crayons. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And when you put one suit on, somebody puts another suit on.
Yes.
And you don't like it, go shoot them.
It looks that way sometimes. Yeah. There seem to be more successful acts of copulation than homicide by weapon, because the population keeps growing.
That's a positive reflection. Is that your way of saying make love, not work?
Sure. I'm a little Baroque.
It's working.
Do you think that creative people, when they're creating something and they're in the midst of a creative frenzy, are without ego?
I don't think that with or without ego is a relevant field of discovery. There is no such thing as ego. There's only this present dreaming. You conjure an ego out of nowhere, and then you imagine you've actually named or caught or hammered something, and then you can ask whether so-and-so in a given act of creative explosion or secularism or copulation or deep sleep are with or without ego. The whole thing is... It is a mirage. No such thing as ego. No one could be with or without one.
I thought I heard you use the phrase, the rising of consciousness.
I lie.
We do.
Thank you for that.
So, in that case, are you putting ego aside?
No, I wouldn't put something that doesn't exist aside. That would be already too many calories spent. Everything is, even one's figment of imagination is a figment of imagination. So it's really a never-ending cascade of figment of imagination. It never ceases. So it makes it appear durable. Because all we have is self-liquidating figments of imagination nonstop, it gives it the appearance that it might have some durability, and therefore a sense of self exists from moment to moment. So that's a how. Is it true? Fuck if I know. You know, but why not chime in with the best poetry you've got? The Buddha did. Did anything he say was true? Not a damn thing. You can't find one. But that's true for all of us.
And yet,
why would Course in Miracles spend so much time, so much heresy, denigrating the ego? There is none. It wipes out, I don't know, 3/4 or more of the book. 3/4 or more of the exercises are wiped out with a single sword swoop. There is no ego. Gone. Now it's a paperback. You know, now it's a thin. Now it's the cliff notes of itself.
Yeah, but it's all we have to work with, Jeff.
No, what you have actually to work with, the only thing that is legitimate to work with, if you're interested in consequences, is this: not some representation, not a Bible,
to work with is, well, say that again.
This, T H I
S.
S, yes.
But I attend, as you know, I attend that course. I enjoy it, and I feel that I get something very valid out of it. So my struggle to understand what you're saying becomes even more interesting because...
Yes, of course.
Because I have personal experience with...
Yes.
And the...
I would say I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I'm sorry that you're sorry because I feel richer for it.
Right.
I feel enriched and comforted and enlightened by it. And that
yes.
But that doesn't negate what we're doing here.
Right.
But I guess for me, I don't know how I can see myself doing anything without attributing an ego to myself, which is, I would say,
yes, thank
some
you.
Sense of self.
Very good. I hear you loud and clear, beautifully articulated, and not that you need it from me, I consent to your experience.
But it doesn't bother. I'm not upset about this situation within myself because I just believe that sooner or later I'll figure it out, and where I am now, where we are on our journey is okay. For me, that's how I make it okay.
No one could ask any more or less from a human being. I would say you've done us, the species, a solid, and thank you.
So is it possible for you to offer a description of someone who is acting without ego?
Yes, I would say you fit the bill quite well.
My brain is never going to get old because it keeps getting new challenges.
That's what we do here. We build synaptic strength.
Yep.
Yeah, we're all in wheelchairs, but we're sharp as tacks.
You got any neuropeptides?
Yeah. Well, this is like a scalar approach to pulling neuropeptides out of the ether and implanting them in our consciousness.
Very good. They're doing that.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're feeding from the ether when we hang out this way. It's a vampire ether club, kind of. Sipping the ether because one's awareness is starting to turn the scalar corner.
You know, it doesn't seem to me that there's a particular need to get too hung up on ego. I mean, naturally, you can read a lot of the posts that Jeff sends out, and they're pretty challenging in regards to the ego. And as much as you get annoyed or irritated by them, I think that's if you wanted to get into the idea that ego is there watching, you know, then you know you would check that. You would say, oh, why is this bothering me? You know, he's putting down Buddha, Course of Miracles, Jesus, you name it. So, you know, why is that bothering me? I mean, can they all sort of be there at the same time?
I don't experience myself putting any of them down because it seems to me I understand that there is a role for every bit of life that appears. And I may not understand what that role is, but I feel just sort of happy with the thought that there is a role, and so everything is acceptable.
You mean all of those paradigms?
Those or whatever. Spiritual leaders or practices that you speak of, I don't see any as being less or better
right
than
on.
Any other. There are just, I guess I have a feeling that what I consider God, my highest value, is everywhere. And it's the energy of everything. And so if people struggle to talk about it and make a theory about it, it's because they cared enough to try to struggle. And that's commendable. It may not end up in anything that really has meaning for me, or it may end up. Which is okay. I'm okay with everything, actually. But this is a new puzzle that I just realized since I started ACIM. I realized that there was a conflict in what I was doing there and somewhat in what I was attempting to do here.
Really?
Yeah, because the ego is very much in play, and putting it in its place and seeing through ego is through the
But what is the end? What is the end result that they're
of ACIM?
Is it
really intense Christianity? It's going deeply into Christianity, and one of the main things that's talked about is being able to forgive, and the reason that we don't forgive, and how to deal with pain. The last few nights of it, how to deal with pain, which they say doesn't really exist. We create it ourselves.
Just like ego.
So.
So aren't they both getting you?
They're
the
saying
same place?
that ego is false. It's what we build up, a fantasy we build up, which I think is exactly the same thing.
Yes.
So it's a challenge. I think it's just a fun thing to try to think how all these things come together and actually are saying similar things in different ways. And I think that often in communication, that's what happens. That, you know, we're saying the same thing, but we're saying it with different words and different symbols. So I don't think Jeff would agree with that, but it doesn't matter. Whatever you think is what you think, and you're entitled to think it.
Well, the speaker in A Course in Miracles, which is supposedly Jesus, is using a lot of words. He would be...
I never thought that's interesting.
Well,
I guess so.
That's supposedly
the author. They never referred to it that way, so it didn't come into my mind. They say the Course, you know, it's channeled material.
There's only like a couple references that make it very, very clear. But a
couple of references to what?
In the ACIM. Of Jesus. I don't know if Jesus is even...
Oh, mentioned. It's sprinkled all through. It's definitely based on... It's in-depth Christianity.
Yeah, although in-depth, but not traditional. Not the way Christianity is grown. It's quite different.
Well, the principles, forgiveness...
You go to any Catholic priest.
Well, I have no... I can't...
They'll
talk
be holding
to
crosses and...
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the symbol, that's the form, that's the outward form, but the principles is what I'm talking about.
Life as a hypothetical ping pong match that won't quit.
Okay.
I might suggest, I don't know anything about A Course in Miracles.
Let's not talk about it anymore. We've done enough about it. We've done enough and more.
Right.
Because here the goal seems to be to gather together and to be together.
No, not really.
Ego?
No, just.
What is the goal?
There's no goal. There's just enjoy your. Enjoy your own, call it style of dress. Just enjoy yourself.
Another metaphor popped into my head.
Yeah.
And if you want to refer to the word ego, you know the Princess and the Pea? The story of the Princess and the Pea?
Yeah.
She was sitting on all these mattresses.
Yeah.
And she kept complaining about the pea disturbing her sleep. So they kept putting more mattresses on. And no matter how many they put on, she could still feel the pee.
Oh.
And my picture is peeling the mattresses off here and imagining that we're going to get a glimpse of the pee. We don't know what is disturbing us, what's behind it all, what's going on. And we keep peeling and peeling. And with the
you get more clarity.
Misbegotten notion that whatever this is, we know it's here, and we know we're using a tool, language, which is fooling us, because we know that tool won't reveal the peak. Mm-hmm. But that's all we have. I like that.
It's just too goddamn weird to be sitting here, which appears to be irrefutable, though we can't find this. Mm-hmm. That's the curious paradox.
It is.
This is irrefutable. Now find it. Yes. Land. Rustle up a conclusion. Rustle up a certainty.
And the minute you do,
see that it's not possible to render this irrefutability through a referencing mechanism. It's that simple. We don't have to have a thick book or create an ego only to tear it down. Why waste your time with all of this hyperbole and triviality? There's no universe really need be created right now. And so, how could you write a book suggesting what to do about it? You can only write a book of teaching or guides or lessons if you first manufacture a universe that you could possibly have commentary about. Buddhism makes all kinds of accusations, convince you that you're miserable, and now you'd better get to work. Course in Miracles does exactly the same thing, as do all religions, and perhaps many, you know, spirituality-based remedies for something that never even occurred. Isn't it a weird kind of self-fulfilling prophecy, if not a self-fulfilling damnation, that all the Bibles, including the Course in Miracles Bible, and the great liturgy of Buddhism and commentary upon commentary, first have to assert or insist upon or accuse that something is occurring? Now they give you the remedy after they make you feel like shit.
I feel like it's all dumbing itself down to be able to register someone with the regular Joe.
Yeah, the regular Joe, you and me. Yeah.
So it's taking a long, elaborate path. It's taking a path. Whereas this is different because we don't seem to take a path.
Well, this is expressive. That's all you need to see.
Right.
This is expressive. It will kick your ass from here till Sunday. Outthink you, outwit you, outjoke you, outfuck with your head. And that's all you need to see. Oh my God, this is splurging forth beyond measure or even comprehensibility with expressiveness.
But supposing that an individual is wishing for more, wants healing, feels they have pain, I know we can do away with it.
There are plenty of places for them to go.
And the Course in Miracles is one. Find a place they might find themselves.
I wish them the best.
I guess I see, not everybody can enter this. Is it intellectual or intellectual spiritual?
Oh, it's really intellectual.
So rarefied. Well,
Rarefied's not bad. At least, that doesn't accuse anyone in the room of being an elitist.
No, elitist is something different having to do with behavior.
But again, there's no particular advantage, even though I get caught in it all the time because it just feels so good. There's just no particular advantage in celebrating or denigrating anything, including all the religions and all the Bibles and all the spirituality and all the false starts.
Celebrating anything?
Celebrating or denigrating.
Doesn't science tell us that there is a difference in what happens in our bodies when we have a negative feeling?
That would be celebrating science.
He said his word was joy. His word was denigrating at first.
Well, no, I meant both.
But sure.
Make nothing of this D as an invitation. Make nothing of it. Don't justify it, defend it, or say what science has to say about it for fun, or what Course in Miracles has to say about it, or what I have to say about it. Make nothing of it. Nothing is happening here that warrants your attention or any participation of your magical powers of formality, of conjuring.
Nothing is happening here that warrants my attention.
Warrants your attention or your magical powers to create meaning.
If it were not something happening here, I don't think I would be here.
Too late. You're here.
That's true.
Well, the something happening here may be less than you think. Or it may be nothing, really. And so where is the something happening? I mean, it's happening to you.
Oh, I think maybe it is very personal because I don't find myself going places where nothing happens. Everything happens. There's something happening all the time, it seems to me.
Yeah,
if you just need to be aware that it's happening.
Well, you were asking, you know, with all due sincerity, what is the goal, right?
Yeah, I'd love to hear you.
Okay. Nice to have you make nothing of this. That's the goal. Here you are. Make nothing of it.
Make nothing of this.
Make it not about anything.
Then why am I... Excuse me, but...
Dee, I can't answer that. I imagine neither can you.
Right.
But you are here, so, and you asked the question,
I
so that's the reply.
There is something. I don't know how to do that, Jim.
Well, that's why we're...
No one does. That's why we're here. We just see how it feels. It's not a doing. No one knows how to do it. It's not a doing. Make nothing of this.
It's not a doing. Is it a letting go?
No. That would already suggest there was someone that had something. It's too late. There's no one here that has anything. There's nothing to let go of. Certainly not ego. You see what happens when you're when you entertain the capacity to feel this, absolutely free from heresy, from the manufacture of meaning. And once you get a taste of that, you can see that everything that has been spoken by all the religions and all the masters is falderall. Yes. Well, we just wanted to start. We wanted to start with the illustrious ones, deserving of our affection. Let's just take them. Yeah, take them off of the map first. Everything else just slides away.
When was it? Choosing that and mentioned something about the shadow in the cave.
Yes.
So, Scientific American has the lead article. About someone who's extended that. So he looked at it, maybe Plato was really seeing that the three-dimensional world is the world that is moving, but it's only on a wall. So the projection is two-dimensional.
I see.
And we're never able to apprehend or know anything about the three-dimensional world. We can't see the shadow. And yet we know there's something happening. The shadows are moving on this plane. So these three bright minds came up with the idea, what if there was a world that was four-dimensional? And we are the shadows of three dimensions. And there's no way in the world we can get to see what the world of the fourth dimension is. It's casting us as shadows. They're speculating that there might be a little tiny wrinkle in the field of vibration ensued from the Big Bang. I thought that was intriguing.
That sure sounds like fun.
There's a...
Who would you rather be, the Green Hornet or Cato?
There's a virtual concept. I mean, if you read this article, every time they say something and construct a notion, I say, but of course we can't prove it. Of course we don't know how to find it. Of course the dark energy doesn't... We
should master
be there.
Conjurers.
We can't get it. We don't know what it is.
Yes.
So all of that, the positive, may be alive and well in the fourth dimension.
I see. Alive and well in the fourth dimension.
Yeah, and us, the shadow, me, the shadow.
Up and away in my beautiful balloon.
We, the shadow, are 5%.
Oh, damn it. Damn it, sorry. Wrong band.
They're trying to account for that 95% that's missing.
Yes, of course. Well, here it is in the pistachio bag. Quick, seal it up.
It's a great metaphor, though. I like it.
I liked it.
It's cool.
Tickles my little noodle.
Yes, you know, mind, even though there is none, has the miraculous capacity to create imaginary boundary fields. It's like basic programming. Let X equal something. Let Y equal something.
Yeah.
All completely arbitrary. And then start fiddling around with the variables. That's mind. You can't find the mind. There's no actual mind. There's just the splurging forth of the magic of variables and pattern recognition and the imaginary consequences of fiddling about with them, whether in a, you know, a high-drawn collider or a Bunsen burner and match heads, you know, back in the basement.
All you need is a blackboard and a pencil.
Yeah.
And you take a point and extend it.
Yes, you're on your way.
It doesn't exist.
Right.
So,
you know, you could say, let's say biologically, if there were such a thing, are we primarily nourished by abstraction? Or are we primarily nourished by wonder? Biologically speaking.
Wonder. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, take a risk. They're not linked. They're the same. They couldn't possibly be other than themselves as, right?
Do you really believe that this kind of conversation is something that people have, ordinary people have on at the drop of a hat? This is not ordinary conversation. Most people that I know, they're not interested in whether something is wonder or mind or what it is. They're interested in how to not have pain. They're interested in...
I hope the participation in the Course in Miracles room swells.
Huh? You hope that it does what?
I hope it swells.
Smells.
Well, it already smells. I hope it swells. It's too late. It smells already. I hope it swells. I hope all the people that you're referring to, and my heart goes out to them, and I count myself amongst them, should find incredible solace, succor, and all manner of revelation in the Course in Miracle rooms, or at the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo house.
I have to listen carefully.
I'm worse than quick.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I don't know exactly what you said, so I don't know exactly what to feel.
I'm with you.
I know, whether you like it or not.
Fortunately, I like it. For me.
Well, I don't know about that. So what you say is that it's not normal for people to engage in this kind of conversation. But I think it kind of happens all the time. It's just that it's so, there's so many other aspects that divert one, that it's not obvious that this kind of thing is actually happening more often than you would think. And so it feels to me like what we're doing here is to try to not go down that path where we're in service, if you want to call it, in service of the ego, or let's say imagination. Let's just call it imagination.
Once you rid yourself of codependent confusion by hook or crook, that could include Course in Miracles and everything under the sun. Make a beeline with great fervor to rid yourself of codependence. And on the way, rid yourself of superstition. Rid yourself of belief.
What are you saying? I'm codependent on you're losing me.
One rids oneself of codependence first, and en route, rids oneself of belief and superstition, of meaning, of justification.
You mean the fact that I believe in something is codependent?
Yes, it can't otherwise be.
Okay, so you're using language in a way that I have to question it, and I'm a language person.
Yes.
And most of the people in my life are not. They do not have conversations. They wouldn't even be here 5 minutes.
Well, that's
say, I don't know.
That's well and good, but it's not relevant to the discovery we're making here.
I think what it is relevant to something in the world.
Yeah.
Somewhere. But
yeah.
Okay.
Your discovery of what this might be or might not be is what's relevant, what's present.
Oh, what I was saying, there's something different about this group, and if it were not, it wouldn't make such a splash.
Yes, there's something, yes, there is something different about this group.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
That's something we can all
And do. It has to do with language, because I came many times, and I listened hard, and you were saying things, and other people were saying things, and I'd say, what in the hell?
It's the vibe. It's not the language. It's the vibe, not the language.
Yeah, and it's the engagement, I think, too. You know, it's the engagement. And so now you're engaged, and I think that has to be making a difference. Because you're seeing that it's not based on, you know, the formation of the word or something like that. It's more basic than that.
Well, you can only take responsibility for your own experience. Right? You can't accurately get a read on what's happening to somebody else.
So that's an interesting point. You're engaged, but I wonder why I come here to be engaged, because I am fully engaged with my life every day. I have things that I have to engage with and either change.
It's not necessary to tell a story about yourself at all. From now till the day you die, it's not necessary to tell a story about yourself. And that endearing advice is true for all of us. It doesn't mean we'll stop. It's just, hey, check it out.
Okay.
What happens to you if you're not relying on conjecture, if you're not relying on hyperbole of hypotheticals, telling stories, imagining or placing yourself in the past, present, or future, if you make nothing of this? We can see how cleverly we divert, or our attention is diverted from the miracle of presence by becoming addicted to and enamored of hysteria, anecdote, hypothetical, past, future, storytelling, justification, agreement and disagreement, dwelling in the self-celebrating confusion of belief. Here's this. You need not create any reference boundary. Any possible impulse for validation is completely empty. Let this sweep you away. Present yourself willingly to annihilation. Let this sweep you away.
There's this nature that I'm sensing about myself of the need to describe. The need to describe.
Yes.
I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that I feel urges of wanting to say things like, when I'm not actively thinking about things, but I'm just sort of letting them happen. Just taking it in and observing, that I feel a certain spaciousness.
Yes.
And for some reason, maybe I need to hear that myself. You know, maybe it's just that I could speak it into a box that goes right to my ears. Maybe that would be okay. I don't know.
It's a good experiment.
Yeah. Or maybe I have to say it out loud, bounce it off other people as a test. I don't know.
Yes. See if you can look deeply into the reflexive habit to self-assert through that expressing and listening process, that reflex. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feel everything so deeply and completely that you don't need to give it a second thought. You don't need to repeat it to yourself. And it's right. It's offering. It's offering.
Yes.
Absolutely. This is offering complete, call it worry-free, transcendent imprint. Right? Transcendent instinct is going on nonstop. Perfectly liberated, transcendent instinct is going on nonstop, which is not relying on the thought structure or language or thought to have to replicate, have to convince itself of that fact. Yeah. That's how good your intelligence is. That's why, may we go back to the fourth dimensional metaphor for a moment. You see, this can touch with full ebullience, full confidence, its fourth dimensional nature. And once it does, guess what? It will be ripe and ready for its fifth dimensional nature. And as soon as it's got a bead on that, it's going to go sixth. It never ends with respect to its miraculous power of infinite regressive or infinite expansive self-revelation.
That came up at the end of the last sentence in the article.
I hope so.
Yes.
You see, it doesn't end. So it doesn't limit us to the terrible twos of three-dimensional being. We can mature beyond the terrible twos of three-dimensional being to witness firsthand in an absolutely inexplicable manner the revelation of, call it, the fourth dimension. And if you watch, look at your watch, maybe 2, maybe 3 seconds will go by before you're ready for the fifth. And here it is. It looks like this. The pistachios are good. See, any limitation that we transcribe, ascribe, scribe, right, is pure fantasy, man. Now, what's the adhesion factor? We've had fun talking about that before, right? Because there ain't nothing wrong with fantasy, is there? Multiply, multivalent, regressive, or progressive, convergent, or divergent fantasy? Fuck all, that's cool. Bring it in, load up the truck. Back up the truck. Dump it off right here in the yard. It's the adhesion where we get into trouble.
Right.
Yes. That's the fun place to look, at the adhesion.
And we grab because we want safety. What we think is safety is going to be...
hard to say.
Pin it down.
Maybe it's transcendent. Maybe even what we're referring to as adhesion is also of a transcendent nature, so that we cannot process it through human vulnerability, right? Human irritability, human apprehension. Maybe the adhesion is just as equally poignant as the entirety of the miracle. It's not actually the consequence of anything. It's certainly not, let's call it, human interest for security, for invulnerability, right, to avoid pain. It may have nothing to do with that. Those may just be, call them, behavioral symptoms of adhesion already operating.
Well, when I hear adhesion, I think of a certain amount of obsessiveness, of a desire for continuation.
We've got 7.4 billion and counting. There you go, man. You want adhesion?
So
humans on Earth.
When you're dreaming, who knows? There could be some adhesion there, but basically, it seems to me, dreams sort of come and go, and you know.
Yeah.
But when you're awake, especially if you tend to be a little bit obsessive,
yeah,
a certain thought that you deem to be worthy to think about all mm-hmm. of a sudden has legs, and it won't stop.
So that's another wonderful, you know, expression, rendition of adhesion. Absolutely. Adhesion comes in 1,000 packages. And we might run through, you know, 7 billion units in a day.
Well, there's...
7 million SKUs in a day.
If you want to... What I'm struggling with here, what I'm...
Sure.
...conjuring with is, let's compare that kind of obsessive adhesion.
Yeah.
Just name it that.
Sure.
With somebody who's doing a work of art and really is into it and just is in the flow of it and is close to the finish and they're going to work right through lunch and finish it.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I mean, that's a type of adhesion, but that's a beautiful kind of adhesion, it seems to me.
Maybe you or any of us might rethink even compulsive thinking and appreciate it as a beautiful adhesion. A work of art. You are a work of art.
Well, and the difference is it's not really
all the time.
All the time, right?
It's not really.
It's a sketch. You know, everyone's got their hands on the knobs.
That's right.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, really.
Because it's not a thinking exercise.
No. Neither is compulsion, really. It's not a thinking exercise.
Well, it's before an exercise, it's an exercise to think.
Well, before it's, that it's thinking, it's already a primality. Thinking seems to be, you know, the effluent of it, the byproduct of it, you know,
yes,
the metabolic waste.
You can make it up after the fact.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I would say that my experience this week was absolutely at the mercy of, that's a sketch.
Yeah.
Which I, nor anybody I know.
Yeah.
And their hands on the knobs.
Not those knobs.
It was just clear.
Yes.
It was work being worked out.
Yep.
All I had to do is watch it and go where there was
to go. How could you do otherwise? Have any of us ever done otherwise than run the Etch-a-Sketch program?
Well, because going into the week...
Well, there can be much gnashing of teeth, though. And
well, who's ever turning the knobs is making sure that gnashing of teeth is right on schedule. All manner of suffering is right on schedule. What, the Divine Mother didn't have a hand in that? No. She only makes tasty pistachios. But suffering, she leaves that up to you.
It's It's available trough.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's skimming off of everything. Yeah, she's skimming. All suffering, she's there. She's skimming. You know, all great triumph, she's skimming. The creation of universes, skimming. She's always there. Yeah. She's a toll collector. Is it possible to be free, as in, right about now, from all meaning, from all takeaways, from the slightest hint of validation? I don't know a better place or time than to give it a whirl than this. Buck up.
A poignant challenge.
Yeah.
To move out of here, through the dynamics of the world.
Uh-huh.
And still hold on to this sense of somebody else has moved them out. Watch what goes on.
You're in a rubber room.
Well, there's an enormous amount of adhesion.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Occurring.
Yes.
I'm not adhesion-free. Okay.
No, there's no need to be or not to be.
Right.
Who said that?
I think it was you.
It's a question.
Yeah. To be or not to be. Adhered. That is the question.
Here or not
here. That's right. Here or not, or adhered. Out of here.
Not to hear. What'd you say?
Yeah, that's good. Sure, okay. So you had adhesion, and you're a gentleman, so you're letting us know you're not adhesion free.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a certain point in noticing that there's a P under the numbers.
Okay. Everything's a portal into wonder.
Yeah.
Pull on any string you like.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of, you know, adhesion.
There is a tendency for me to think that when it feels like amazing.
Yes.
And I don't mean bliss, I just mean like, whoa.
Yeah.
I look at the tree or the sky or the cushion.
Sure.
You know, I'm so sure that that's it, and everything else isn't.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
The
right.
Regular ho hum, sitting at my desk at work.
Or yeah, yeah.
Driving, whatever.
Well, remember, you're also paid to be a professional selector. Right? Yes. I mean, the way that you conduct your work, or I conduct my work, or many people in this room that work, right? We are paid. We're encouraged. We're conditioned to be professional selectors.
Just as humans, we're supposed to be, you know,
yeah.
What's good, what's bad, what's going to be.
Well, we take this curious, magical capacity of mind, which is an engine of miraculous measure, right? Instantaneous measure, comparison, universe creation, imaginary, imaginative beyond imagination. That's what it is. That's what we're looking at. Oh, my goodness. And so one of its, you could say, miraculous qualities is comparison and measure to select. So we put it to good use in building cities, dwellings, and institutions, and imaginary boundaries and warships and shit like that.
It seems to be useful to generate livelihoods of persons.
Okay. Yeah, could be that simple. Why not? So we can't help but, when we look at the nature of experience, to spin out into really unending, somewhat satisfying expressions of conjecture. I mean, it is a functional form of hysteria. Because we are hysterical in our thinking and emotive processes. But outwardly, we wear, let's just call it, a sufficiently professional patina that we don't have to take you away with a Thorazine drip.
Not usually.
Not usually, yeah. But, you know, when we had to, thankfully, we called 911 and you complied. Some of us don't want to get in the ambulance. Yeah. Yeah, I know that it might seem worthwhile to pay a lot of affectionate attention to the hallucination of your life. Why not? Who knows what might sneak up on you?
Well,
that reveals something so discontinuous with the imagination of universe creation, then you start to just give it more and more of your attention, more and more of your affection. You actually start seeing that, oh my God, you might be living in a timeless space, spaceless plasma of immeasurable abundance, which has nothing to do with the success of your material life. You're right? In the world, but not of it. And of course, we want that to be on a drip that we control so that I don't lose what I think I still am interested in my life. I want to have the drip control on the morphine so I can get as high as I'm ready to get from moment to moment and back it off if my woodpile's starting to get moldy, in a manner of speaking.
Do you think that that attachment to your woodpile is counterproductive to...
No.
Seeing what you can
no, really. Not really, because it's only just a disappearing metaphor. It's not actually real. You see, you don't have a woodpile. Mm-hmm. You can't stall this.
Yeah.
See, the entire metaphor of the apparent three-dimensionality and temporality of our lives is made up right here on the spot in situ. But it's not really three-dimensional. It's two-dimensional or even one-dimensional. Could be less than that. Could be nothing. Could be nothing, and yet we operate, you know, socially with each other as if we're in a momentum field. Like, I came from work today. I chose the gray shirt. You know? Yeah, I'm glad I filled up the tank. Oh, right, I know I have a dinner engagement on Friday. Right?
Look that deeply, there's nothing. Look that deeply with an electron microscope.
Nothing.
There's nothing.
Well, look that deeply right here without the amplification. Here you are. Here's the miracle capacity of your ability to look. Look deeply. I would dare say look deeper than the electron microscope. I could make the bold, you know, assertion that right here, without any amplification or magnification, you can look more deeply than the electron microscope and come to absolute liquidation. Because if you care to, you can drop kick a quark. You're not the product of quark. You can drop kick one at will. See? This miraculous dreaming is not the consequence of a quark. You can pull one out of your ass and drop kick it right out of the stadium. That's how good you are. That's the formidability of your capacity to look deeply now. Why is that? Because this is nothing. That's why. If it were something, you'd be fucked. Really, seriously fucked. We would have to take Course in Miracles to heart if this were something. Thank goodness it's nothing. So you can discard all of the bastards and their goodwill and their miraculous works. You can discard it. In the great dreaming, when it's your time to become maggot food, you'll go down with a chuckle. Such will be the nature of your satiation with the present miracle of nothing at all. When it's your time, you'll go down with a chuckle. Let the maggots come.
Bring them on.
But before then, we put up, you know, a big fight. Adhesion. We're just playing around with adhesion. The myth of adhesion. The miracle of adhesion. Right? Creating a universe where there is none. And then insisting on occupying it.
It's a clever construct. It's a clever construct.
Which is?
Give us an adhesion.
Yes.
As something to think exists.
Yes.
Or imagine exists in the space of nothing.
Yes. That is adhesion.
It's real.
It fools itself into apparency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn clever.
Is that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you're having fun.
Adhesion is this, its own capacity to dream itself into appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just not so.
I think it's entertaining itself. That's all.
Okay. Yes, why not?
Is that something that's seen by the scientists who study quantum mechanics? Adhesion. Could you give me an example in language I could understand?
Give you an example of?
Adhesion.
Yes. Absolutely. Is this anything?
Say their adhesion is in the notion that there is something in the anything, and their job is to find it. They're adhesed to the notion that they're going to find something.
All impulse that arises spontaneously is an expression of adhesion. Or let's say, it's okay for everything to arise spontaneously as it does. It's not asking us for permission anyway. But that we have something to say about it, or to feel about it, or to do about it, that's adhesion.
Well, it's connecting dots, as I see it.
Fair enough.
Connecting dots and extrapolations and conjecture and history and all that stuff. It's making a big story out of it, or a little story, whatever.
Simply, it's making this about something.
Yes.
Or even believing the story on how we got here.
That's included.
Pretty simple example of it.
Sure. Yes.
That I have a house.
Yes.
I have a car out in a parking lot that
right.
actually exists out there. That there's
right.
anything other than just what's right here.
Yes. That you're dwelling in a sustainable material universe that you move around in by virtue of your legs, your automobile, public transportation, or aircraft. Yeah. And still, you can book a flight to France and have a lovely cup of coffee.
That there is a quantum field.
That there is a quantum field.
Okay. There's adhesion to that model, which is currently held to be the model. It wasn't. Over.
Relativity is the myth of consciousness. Relativity is not prior to the expressiveness.
The models that preceded the quantum field, and there was adhesion to them. An inquiry is made, and suppose that evidence appears, and there's a new model created, and they're hearing that until I get to that.
Quantum entanglement is enough to bust this right open. But But we habituate very well. We just let it in if we're curious about it. We get a feeling for the giggle fest of what it implies, and then we have habituated. We enfold it, and then create even it once again a product of space-time. We cling to the imagination of relativity as if it's primary.
It's totally secondary. I mean, it's a learned thing, wouldn't you say?
Who's to know? It's too curious. What does learned mean? It's only dreaming itself at present. There's no one actually here to benefit from any education. Really? You see, you have to become a product of relativity, meaning you become sufficiently solid and durable that something happened a moment ago, and someone has said something meaningful about this.
About that.
Yes. That's right.
That's the whole structure.
Okay. Well put. Yeah. That's the revelation. Here it is. This is the revelation that right here, right now, including the myth of the entirety of your life, this is not about anything. And so why attempt to apply clever discoveries to it? Because they're all just appearing within the symptomatic field of it.
I would say that's the debunker of community.
Debunker?
Yes. Well, community is the new, what is the watchword for the living experience right now? You need to gather some like minds, like souls, like interests.
Well, this is bacterial.
Share your moment with them, and you feel real good about it. Like this Course in Miracles, you gather.
This is bacterial and viral at its core, you know. The roots of the sentient biology are bacterial and viral. And what do bacteria and viruses do? They commune.
So they hang out and eat pistachio.
Wait a minute.
That's
I'm
right.
Lost. You're saying the Course of Miracles is bacterial and viral? Is that what you're saying?
Everything is. The whole atmosphere, or call it waveform, morphogenic waveform of the biological confluence, is bacterial and viral. And that's what bacteria and viruses do. They form community.
In fact, it's expressed as a colony-forming unit.
That's right.
So it's there you
look
go.
At New York City. Look at London.
Yeah. Some people love that viral community.
Yeah.
Kind of live in New York City.
Well, look at the Hopi dwellings, the Anasazi.
Look at us.
Look at us.
We come together.
Yeah.
We've got a little community going here.
Yeah, it's just a bacteria fest.
Minimal, but still a fest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a small fest.
Some people,
it's a mini fest.
Thrive on that bacteria.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's okay.
There's nothing okay about anything, or not okay about it, for that matter.
True. It's not up to me to have it.
Yeah,
I mean, in my heart, I feel okay. That's my ego. Whoops.
Okay. That's your ego.
There again.
Far out. Glad to know you.
Well, you know, don't judge it. Don't judge, you know, don't put a name on it and then judge it and, you know.
Well, for the purposes of my understanding and contributing in the way that we're trying to do here, mm-hmm. don't I have to recognize it and judge it? And how am I going to know when I'm doing it until
doing what?
Jeff makes me feel like an idiot?
Oh, thanks.
You never do. Actually, that was a mean, cruel...
That's self-imposed idea.
Yes. I apologize.
<For yourself. laughs>
You're an idiot.
You keep...
Thank God.
Yeah.
Join the club.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. This is a thank God I'm an idiot club.
You just
pass the pistachios.
Yeah. It's all bullshit. It's all made up.
I'm afraid to say anything. Yes, no, or maybe.
No, I know. We're all in a panic. Nobody wants to say anything.
There isn't strange. Any doing, though. I mean, I came in just full of doing.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
And little by little, it's like I really get that all the doing that I had done, which was a bit
of
my time, got me nowhere.
Hmm.
And this, what attracts me to this circle is the, there is no doing. There is nothing to do. And granted, we come here and we talk about things, but there's not really an encouragement to go out and practice something or to show up here any particular way. I think there's an invitation not to show up here and just go nuts with your stories about how your day was and what's going on with the cats and, you know, the latest story on blah, blah, blah. But there is no doing. It's just this. It's pretty straight up.
It's pretty straight up.
Or what, the way?
Fuck you, fuck me, fuck this. It's pretty straight up.
Hey, pistachios.
Yeah.
Well, the way I see it is... is not so much to... I wouldn't express that there's no doing. I would express there's no control. You know, the doing is just happening.
So why bother to do if there's no control? Oh,
Yeah. I mean, if you're saying doing, meaning there's the control, there's a push
to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get this, and do this.
But what I'm saying is it's all, like, independent of all of that, it happens.
Yeah.
You know? It's almost like it doesn't matter what you think. Well, who knows? Maybe that nudges it one.
It never has.
Yeah.
What you think was never real anyway.
What about what you feel?
Same.
Well, you mean like emotions and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Some would argue that that's a chemical and hormonal response.
I'm sure they would, and generated, I'd say that's true.
Generated by your brain, and you have nothing to do with creating it.
Oh.
You're just the recorder of the experience of it.
But
that's closer to the mark, I think.
I have been practicing.
All emotion is basically designed to create an occasional successful copulation.
Meaning, fuck you.
Fuck you, fuck me, fuck this. Yeah. And as a stimulant for replication. This is primarily a bacterial and viral party expression.
Just rather complex.
Very complex.
The idea of emotion.
So what's its interest? Replicate, congregate. All emotion, all thought, all pheromonal activity, all explanation, all artistry, all violence, all nonviolence, is interested in just two simple things. Replication and congregation. What's
that? Interested in what? Jeff?
Two things.
What?
Replicate, congregate.
You're assuming you know what this is about, and I don't think we do.
Look what it does. Observe through the biologic record.
I don't see any replication here, and I don't see a whole hell of a lot of congregation either.
Well, it's just a congregation.
Pretty small. Yeah, it's a pretty pitiful.
Nonetheless.
It's a viral colony, if you ask me.
Yeah, we're speaking generically about the motives of the species.
It's like congregate.
But do you mention...
don't mess with my verbs.
Feelings.
I mentioned what?
Feelings, which I took to mean emotions. And in the throes of a given emotion, let's take an extreme emotion, is there not a consciousness that you are emoting? If you're sobbing, I have this memory, as a little kid, having a tantrum, just like totally involved, and all of a sudden, bing, this thing happened where I was like, wow, where is all this screaming coming from? And it was from me. I mean, I was so into it that I kind of bounced out of it in a way. I think I don't know if it stopped me cold or not. But, you know, I think most emotions are what I can think of. I sort of like that, you know. There's still something that's there. I mean, emotion is pretty raw and it's pretty real, it feels to me. More so than thought. But even that is something, you know. And there's something beneath that.
There are many people who do not feel their emotions.
Yeah. Well,
they're not even aware that they have one, and then something will happen and there will be a sudden.
But the many people who are not in this room are of no concern to anyone. They're just a figment of your imagination.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with that, Chuck. I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
And I think I understand how you mean it, but imagination is all there is, and that's what we have. Imagination is all there is. There's nothing else.
Oh.
Everything is imagination.
Mm.
So we have to respect that.
Hmm.
I do respect it. As a matter of fact, I'm madly in love with it. I just don't make stories about it. I don't indulge in hypothetical hysteria, anecdotal hysteria. I have great respect and adoration for imagination. I just don't use it frivolously.
Well, what if I said everything you said tonight, I believe, is a product of your imagination?
You'd be absolutely right.
I think everything I believe is a product of my imagination and thus with everybody in the room.
Where does it leave
and
you?
So,
let's say you're absolutely right.
And so I have to respect your imagination may have something wonderful to add to mine.
Yeah, but now you're getting into takeaways and value systems.
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's just, can you see that takeaways and value systems are just hypotheticals? Your life is a hypothetical. All there is this. Now, that's it.
No, my cat is at home waiting for me to come.
But you realize that's your imagination. You're hoping that's so.
Well, that's all we have.
I'm asking, maybe not.
Yeah, there might be more. Is it possible there's more?
Without imagination, I would have less than I have now.
You might have the entire universe at your feet.
Yeah.
Oh,
and drop-kicking quarks at will.
I do believe that, too.
No.
And I believe that you...
Wait, we don't care what you believe.
Oh,
we just
right.
don't.
That's right.
Because I don't care what I believe. I'm not singling you out. Nobody here cares what they or anybody else believes.
Except me. I care what I believe.
You might be the last man out.
I don't know. I'm not that sure.
No, I care about anything. All I'm saying is, what is this without belief? Here it is. Feel it. Don't believe anything.
Do you think that happens when you're going about your life and you're out and you're
going? No, let's just do it now. No. Forget about then. Now. Do it now.
But if I remember then I have something to compare.
There is no then. There's only here. There's no then. Right. Then is your imagination. There's just here. Do it now.
That's not much fun.
For you, maybe. I understand that, and I respect that. It may not be a lot of fun for you to take on.
I don't know whether it is or not. It's a challenge.
It is a challenge.
It's better than being home watching TV.
Well, let's leave it up to that. That's as good as it gets.
Well, going less can be more of a challenge than
watching TV.
Going more.
Watching TV.
I'm saying, yeah.
This could be more of a challenge.
I'm saying this.
This is
which I'm saying is going less.
Yes. Oh yes.
In a sense, going less.
I agree.
Is
I agree. With
much
that.
More challenging.
Not that it matters whether I agree.
Thank you.
So this sensing the this is something that you would have to get together with other people who wish to do that, and would only happen in those circumstances where you decided to.
Well, that's another hypothetical. Here you are now. What can you say about it presently?
What can I say about this?
Presently.
I don't see any difference in sensing the this in this room than I do every day of my life when I'm in meditation or when I'm in my garden.
Okay, that's great.
The feeling of energy all around and being aware of that and part of that and feeling myself to be less and less and part of the whole is how I experience this.
Oh, go with that?
Yeah.
So, that's okay.
It's more than okay.
That's it.
Now all I got to do is figure out what you guys are doing.
Join the club.
That's same as you.
Yeah, same thing.
The word that gathers us is inquiry.
Yeah, right. That's right. Absolutely.
And if we understood what the heck Jeff was talking about half the time, there wouldn't be any inquiry.
That'd be too simple.
Yeah. That's the knack. You just let it roll over you. You don't really have to understand it.
At my age, I've been with groups of all descriptions, colors, sizes, kinds, etc. I've never been with one that endeavored. That's because of our leader here.
I don't think you get it with your head. Like, the deal is you don't really get it with your head.
No, you don't. I see that.
You maybe glimpses, but some more than that.
Awareness has the, you could say, the capacity to hang with primacy or the expressive outcome of primacy. Those are not two different things, nor is awareness apart from either one. This just has the unique skill, magic power, siddhi, of revealing itself to itself without intermediary, or having, you know, a dancing Wu Li master fest, which is the externalization of, right, phenomenality, of meaning, events, circumstances, feelings, sentiments, justifications and explanations, rarefied conversations. As humans, if there were any, you know, occupying a field, namely your life, something, some kind of bomb goes off. Maybe it's a smoke bomb or something more substantive. And you somehow become interested in getting to the least common denominator of the miracle of first hand experiencing. And in making that journey, you learn, you discover how to emancipate yourself from hypothetical, from conjecture and abstraction, from storytelling, from the past and the future. You actually make these discoveries. And see where that takes you. See where you naturally enjoy dwelling in hypothetical abstraction, or in some other quality of being, which is not that easy to articulate. But it's here, it's present, it's not made up. It's not at the top of Arunachala only, or in Ramana's diapers only. It happens to be here too.
I like the former.
Yeah. I know.
Back to Ramana's diapers.
Everybody would rather have a peacock than a pigeon.
Peacocks are a big pain in the ass. They just make too much.
They are. They're poop monsters. Yeah.
And they make the most terrific screeching. Yeah. They're not pleasant birds.
You can't rain them in.
Yeah.
They're not very good for eating. I have no idea. Eggs are any good.
Decorative.
Well, show.
I also like to respond to my sorrow or other people's sorrow and confusion and lamentation with, you could say, a different kind of therapeutic approach than Course in Miracles. Hear this, these conversations, this quality of observation also addresses sorrow and confusion and codependency. It does. It's just another part of a giant arsenal of things that any human can do to investigate the miracle of their own primal nature. We can also see that not everyone we know has that spark or bomb hasn't gone off in their living room where they're just naturally enthusiastic to make this kind of discovery.
They can't stand the heat.
This doesn't promise anything. It doesn't promise it's going to, you know, fix your ailing dog or
help you
with your other problems. It doesn't promise a damn thing. As a matter of fact, it kind of is pretty straightforward in it is what it is, get over it, and just take a look at what's right in front of you.
If you want some kind of abundance, go see Joel Osteen.
How's he?
He's an abundance minister.
Oh.
What is it?
Osteen.
Low price, right?
He's fun to listen to. He is.
Absolutely.
He's quite an amazing preacher.
Well, that's part of that you can create your own reality idea.
It's working for him. They make $600,000 a day.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I know a number of people who believe in that principle.
Mm.
They're not with money. They're not doing it with money. I guess they would. I don't know why they don't. I just assume they have the money. They'll hold something in their mind, and eventually some form of it will come.
They're selling themselves short.
They're selling themselves short because they're not asking for $1 million?
No. Because they're asking for anything from externally. You know, in other words, it's a palliative care, you know. It's investing needlessly.
It's what?
Investing needlessly.
But if it works for them.
If what works, though? I mean, what is it that's going to work? That's going to. What's the bottom line for them?
Well, for instance, somebody needs help and they just wish that somebody would come along and they have that need and they have it in their mind for a couple of weeks and all of a sudden somebody comes in the door and says, gee whiz, I need a job. But they perceive that as an answer to that they have created a reality, that they have created a receptivity to that, and that has drawn it to them. That's what they believe.
I mean, look, if this is pure, but I mean, it has a tendency to go into practice and technique and solicitation and requesting, whether it's of God or the Spirit or the universe or what have you.
It has a tendency, but that's just your assumption.
Well, from what I can see, yes. Sure, it is definitely my assumption.
Once you tell a story about anything, where else can you be but in a field of assumption? No one can be outside of assumption telling a story about anything.
Well, I am trying to get rid of pain in my body by saying that I can create a different picture of it so that it will go away.
I hope that works out for you. Truly, I do.
Well,
but that's not our concern here, not for the time that we meet. For the time that we meet, it's not our concern.
Right.
It doesn't mean to be rude to you or anybody else. No one needs to make this miracle about them, including pain in the body. Including what we might do about it.
If I phrased it, people do this.
There are no people.
Placebo studies. What about the placebo studies?
The greatest placebo is your consciousness. If you don't give that attention, if one does not give the primary placebo attention, you are living in hysteria.
You are living in what?
Hysteria. Manufactured hysteria. Evocative, creative confusion and hysteria. No. That's the observation. That's why some people might find this kind of a circle rude or off-putting, because they are not interested in the possibility of examining the root placebo. Instead, they just want to take themselves on the road and free associate to the grave. I like to introduce the possibility that that needn't be your fate. People that are interested in hearing about it enjoy participating in this conversation. People that are not interested in hearing about it will likely leave, pleasantly or otherwise, and dream themselves to the grave. And they're absolutely, you know, entitled and blessed to do so.
Certainly we see it a lot.
It appears that we do.
And perfectly understandable. I mean, we don't...
Well, why start saying an imagination need be perfectly understandable? You see, nothing's perfectly understandable because nothing's actually occurring. So you don't need to justify it or say it's okay because we're all insane. Everything's okay. We're all insane. I mean, that's a blanket purchase order. Mm-hmm. Everything's okay. We're all insane. Now there's nothing to justify anymore. Right, no particular event or behavior to justify. They're all good. You see how refreshing it is? I mean, it's refreshing to me. I don't know, maybe I'm imposing
something.
Well, there's
there is something that lingers. There's a vibe, there's a pulse, there's something that lingers. And it's most definite. And it's... this is an unusual circumstance, I would say, a gathering such as this. And as you've already said, you haven't encountered a group like this. And it's not going to be, appears to me, something that happens that it's very welcomed by a lot of people. They want something that they can sink their intellect into and their imagination.
Uh, by some strange sleight of hand, we might be privileged to discover that feeling this can lead to the end of confusion. That the wholeness, the so-called healing, not necessarily of the body, having an intimate relationship with presence as it is, might be fun. The Buddha didn't refer to it as nibbana and cessation for no reason. What happens to us if we start to get a glimpse of the miracle of proliferation is not about me? That I actually can become free or unencumbered from what appear to be the vicissitudes and vagaries of what I call my life.
Adhesion.
Yes. Released from all adhesion. And here you are. You're absolutely refreshed.